When the government shutdown came to an end, the proponents of illegal immigration who wanted an accomplishment settled for an assurance that their concern for those in the DACA program would be addressed before the expiration of the program this March, and that includes the thousands here in New Jersey, as well as obviously elsewhere who are part of the DACA program. In that short period of time of, well, less than a week, some surprising stands on the issue have been taken, which actually may give wins to both sides of this one issue, strangely enough. With us now to discuss all this is the Director of Content and Activism for Numbers USA, Chris Chmielewski. How are you today, Chris?
Good. Thanks for having me.
NumbersUSA.com. Learn more about, well, what sounds like a convoluted, conflicting issue, but it's actually getting more and more to at least a concrete, narrow point. But just to start off, Chris, a little moment of backtracking. What was the reaction among those in Numbers USA with the way Chuck Schumer, well, basically caved to the president with the government shutdown?
Well, I'll tell you,
me personally, and I think the organization from that on that point, we were surprised that the Democrats were willing to go out and shut down the government over DACA. I mean, we had seen the polling that it was not a popular move, not something the American people supported, at least. I mean, we saw polls that ranged anywhere from 55% all the way up to 70% opposed shutting down the government over DACA, but they were still willing to take the risk. And then I wasn't too surprised the shutdown barely lasted, you know, was ended shortly into the work week when it really takes effect, because you don't notice too much over the weekend. But wasn't surprised that it got resolved. I mean, it was even hard for the mainstream media, which typically sides with the Democrats on these kinds of issues. You know, it was even hard for them to hide the fact that the shutdown was over DACA and that decision was unpopular.
As I mentioned in the introduction to here in New Jersey, there are 22,000 people enrolled in the DACA program. That makes our state the eighth on the list of having the most DACA participants, which, you know, just from my personal opinion, I've said this before, I think punishing or penalizing anyone in the DACA program because of the conditions and the situation that brought them here, that would sort of be like taking someone who was hit with a bullet from a stolen gun and arresting them on the gun charges.
Yeah. I mean, Numbers USA, in my own opinion, too. I mean, I share basically the same opinion of how we stand organizationally. But we understand that there's, you know, they have a compelling case. This entire group of Dreamers have a compelling case. But we also believe that anything that is done to reward these young adult illegal aliens with some sort of a permanent amnesty, to counter that, you have to put in place some things that are going to end future illegal immigration, like requiring all employers to use E-Verified, shut off the jobs magnet, and secondly, to end chain migration, which ends up having a multiplying effect on an amnesty. So, you know, if you don't end chain migration in conjunction with a DACA amnesty for every one, you know, they can go ahead and sponsor all of their adult family relatives. And what we've seen statistically is that can range. The average is about 3.25 to 4 relatives per person who receives the amnesty. But, you know, it can vary depending on the size of the families.
And that's why there is a bill, Securing America's Future Act, which is H.R. 4760, which was offered by four House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committee and Subcommittee chairs, Representative Bob Goodlatte, Michael McCaul, Raul Labrador, and Martha McSally. That pretty much answers the priorities that at least your organization and even many of those who are supportive of the Dreamers and their situation. It pretty much answers the concerns and puts in the limitations and the roadblocks that would, at least through policy, help strengthen America's borders.
It really does, and that's why we've formally endorsed the legislation. In fact, in our 22-year existence, we have never endorsed legislation that contained an amnesty. This is the first time we've ever done it, and the reason why was because we felt that the trade-off was good, both for the national interest, for American workers, and we think it's fair for the DACA recipients. So it does. It offers an amnesty, but it's limited to the DACA recipients, which is only about 690,000 right now who currently hold DACA work permits. So they would benefit from the amnesty, and in exchange, it ends both chain migration and the visa lottery. And, of course, through both of those green card programs, not only is it driving legal immigration in the United States. We have about 1 million new legal immigrants coming to the United States each year. About 600 to 650,000 of them are coming through those two programs alone. But they're mostly low-skilled workers. So you have this mass influx of low-skilled workers competing directly with American low-skilled and vulnerable workers. So that's our number one thing. But number two, it does include a ton of border security and interior enforcement, but most importantly, it includes E-Verify. This is a requirement that all employers will have to check the employment eligibility of all new hires. We think that's the best thing, the best action that the government can take in ending future flows of illegal immigration to make sure we don't have another amnesty 10 years down the road from now. Because you can build a wall along the entire border, but 40% of illegal aliens living in the United States came here legally first and overstayed their visa. So as long as there's a way for them to work, they're going to find a way to get here and be here illegally. So that's why we think E-Verify is so important.
There are many who say, too, statistics vary from 10 to 35%. I've seen in various surveys that if you just had E-Verify as the law of the land, that's how much illegal alien population would be reduced by. Just on that action alone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think the Democrats are resistant to E-Verify and why you haven't seen it in most of the proposals that have been put forward, with the exception of the Goodlatte McCall proposal, because we're talking about whether, depending on which, you know, if we're talking about the Senate proposal, the White House proposal, or the Goodlatte proposal, we're talking about somewhere between 700,000 and 3.2 million illegal aliens, when we know there's about 11 to 12 million illegal aliens living in the country. The Gang of Eight bill back in 2013 would have granted amnesty to all of them. So we know that's something that Democrats and some Republicans, they want to see all those illegal aliens legalized. And they know that by putting in an E-Verify requirement before there's amnesty for all of them, it's going to hurt them. As you said, you're going to see what we call attrition through enforcement. You're going to see people leaving the country because they can no longer obtain work in the United States if E-Verify is mandatory. And that's something that Democrats and some Republicans don't want to see happen right now.
One of those being New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez, who is the leading voice against E-Verify in the Senate, although given his current state of personal affairs, maybe the stick he wields might not be as strong as it once was on this issue, so that's a wait and see on that. We're talking to Chris Chmielewski, who is Director of Content and Activism for Numbers USA. NumbersUSA.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. We mentioned H.R. 4760. We've talked previously on the show about the Gang of Six proposal, which opens the doors a lot wider, 700,000 approximately in the House bill versus some say up to 10 million with the Gang of Six proposal. Now, you had the White House come up with, over the tail end of this past week, with a proposal of their own, which, if you look at the population count, it would enable 1.8 million to remain in the country, basically Dreamers and their parents. And it would ask for less money for physical border security, but it would more strongly pinpoint where that money goes versus the House bill.
Yeah, it would. The Goodlatte bill does include more money, but also some money is for the wall. Some money is for improving technology along the border as well. So it's not all just for border and fencing funding, but there's a significant difference between the two asks. The White House plan is asking for an appropriation, which means that Congress actually sets aside the money for it. Whereas the Goodlatte bill simply authorizes. So it says that the executive branch can spend up to 30-something billion dollars to not only build fencing but also make these, you know, improve technology along the border. The money would still have to be appropriated by Congress. That's not part of the legislation. So from that perspective, even though the White House deal is a little bit less money, it does have stronger language when you weigh in the appropriation versus the authorization aspect of it. But that's something, you know, that we think, you know, Democrats, that should lure them more to the Goodlatte McCall bill, because, you know, they can vote for authorizing the wall, but then the administration would have to figure out how to pay for it. They don't necessarily have to be on the hook for paying for it. But then again, we've seen this before. The Secure Fence Act of 2006, they authorized 700,000, 700 miles of double-layered fencing along the southern border. Congress authorized it but never paid for it, so it never happened.
It's like during budget agreements in the past. Well, we spend, if we tax now, we'll cut spending later. Problem is, time after time, the spending increases, the tax cuts never show up.
Right, right. Yeah. So, we think that E-Verify is a better solution and a more cost-effective solution, certainly. But we're not opposed to increasing barriers along the border. We think it's very important for national security and to control illegal immigration. It allows Border Patrol to better use their resources if they know that, for example, under the Secure Fence Act, 700 miles of required fencing. They know those 700 heavily populated areas are pretty secure with a fence. Then Border Patrol can focus its efforts more on the rural areas. So it does help with gaining operational control of the southern border, which we fully support. But again, going to the enforcement piece, E-Verify, we think, is still going to be the top thing in discouraging future illegal immigration.
And I'm looking fast through the House bill. I think the White House specifically said northern as well as southern borders, and I don't think the House bill specifies it, just as general border.
Right. Yeah. The House bill, I mean, most of the focus is going to be on the southern border, but we do have not only vulnerabilities along the northern border, but we're always talking about land borders. There are still air borders and sea borders. So you still need to beef up security at seaports and at airports. That's one of the things that the GoodLatte bill also addresses, too, is that it requires full implementation of a biometric entry exit system, which was a recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. Passed into law in 2004, and Congress has actually funded it six times. It just simply has never been completed. It's done lots of pilot programs, but nothing has been fully implemented. So that's another requirement under the GoodLatte bill, something else that we like. That's the way that you can track visa overstayers. When people come in, they have to check in, and then they have to check out when they leave the country, and that'll help secure both the seaports and the airports. As well as the land ports. But most of the focus is still going to be on the southern border, since that's where most of the illegal border crossings are coming from. But there are some hot spots on the northern border.
Well, this is going to be interesting to watch how it plays out. And add to it, as we go closer to the midterm elections, how many Democrats are sitting in Trump territories and they'll be casting the votes in order to keep their jobs as opposed to staying loyal to their party? That's another part of the factor of the equation as well. Keep on top of this issue. Follow along as more will certainly develop. NumbersUSA.com. He is the Director of Content and Activism for Numbers USA, Chris Chmielewski. Always an education, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.